You're listening to the Frank Beckman Show on News Talk 760 WJR.
Well, Jack McHugh, the legislative analyst for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, has written an op-ed piece on the website, and he's got a very simple answer. He says, replace it with nothing. With nothing. Jack's on the other end of our line. How are you?
Good morning, Frank. Thanks for the opportunity here.
Well, good to talk with you again. You wouldn't exactly leave a $2 billion hole in the budget, would you?
Well, you know, there's a line in the movie The Untouchables where Sean Connery says to the Elliot Ness character, everyone knows where the liquor is. The problem's not finding the liquor. Well, everyone in Lansing knows where the money is. The problem's not finding the money. And sometimes if you just put together a list of where it is, people notice that. And that's kind of what's happening with the list that's on our website right now under at www.mackinac.org, and it's right at the top called No New Taxes.
Well, the whole point is that we can cut spending in this state to make it all work.
Right. I mean, we've got about a dozen recommended cuts here, and actually a lot of these aren't even cuts. They're just reforms, doing things smarter so that you can do more for less money. One thing they all have in common is that if these were adopted, most people wouldn't even notice it. The only people that would notice it would be some special interests in Lansing whose ox might be gored a little bit. But the taxpayers and the citizens, they couldn't care less how some of these things are done. Like, for example, one of these things is there's a study by an organization in New Mexico on prisons and prison privatization. And they found that for every 5% of a prison population that's in prisons that are managed by a private company, you save about 14% on the total prison spending, including the ones managed by the government, because all of a sudden the government prisons start thinking, wow, we better sharpen our pencils or they're going to take even more of our business away and give it to these private companies.
But, Jack, we had one private prison in Michigan, and the governor closed it saying it was too expensive.
Well, you know, if the prison union has basically said you need to close that union and take away the competition, and you spend a couple of years taking all the prisoners out of that prison so that it has the same number of guards but a lot less prisoners, it's easy to then say, oh, well, that prison wasn't cost effective. I mean, it takes some good faith and some goodwill to make these things happen, but you know, wherever they're tried, they do save money, on that prison one, not just on the privatized prison, but on the government ones that are forced to compete then. You know, a similar example is universities. Right now, every college, we send them a fixed amount of money, and that amount is determined by legislative finagling, basically, maneuvering. So the University of Michigan gets about $330 million. Why don't we instead attach that money to the students the same way we do with K through 12 in the foundation grants on a per pupil dollar amount, and let the universities compete for the students? And if they had to compete and weren't guaranteed a fixed amount of money from the state, whatever they did, then you would see some of these wasteful spending that was outlined in recent audit reports, was reported in the news and free press a couple weeks ago. You know, they would sharpen their pencils also, and you could save money there. A lot of these things, you're not even talking about cuts. You're just talking about changing the incentives so that the institutions of government have incentives and have a motive to do things smarter and do more for less.
Jackie, you have a couple of recommendations in here that might be rather controversial, though. The biggest savings that you have on your list is $422 million, and you refer to a report from the Hay Group, H-A-Y, with which I'm not familiar, recommending rationalizing public school health insurance, including requiring co-pays and preferred provider networks, savings of $422 million. I was confused by this for this reason. I thought individual school districts cut those deals with the unions, with their teachers, with their administrators, and covered them under policies and not the state?
Well, this certainly is a controversial issue. There's been one bill proposed in Lansing to essentially put the school employees under the same insurance as state employees. And right now, in many school districts, frankly, the school boards have given away the store in terms of benefits. I mean, we've seen a lot of news reports about this in the last couple of years of districts that are paying $18,000 a year for an individual's health insurance, and the co-pays are like, you know, $2 for a visit and stuff like that. They're absurd. They are not gold plans. They're not Cadillac plans. They're Rolls-Royce plans, and they're far in excess of not only what you see in generous plans in the private sector, they far exceed what exists elsewhere in the public sector. So the Hay Group is a Virginia consultant company that was hired by the legislature last summer, and they came out with this report. You know, one thing about co-pays and PPOs and that sort of thing, there was a huge study done by one of the major nationwide think tanks of a number of years ago that found that when people have co-pays, their health condition, their health status does not suffer a bit. When economizers benefit from their economizing, they economize. And so there's lots of money to be saved by just putting some of these common sense incentives into place in the system.
What you're saying is they're not as wasteful in the system if they've got to pay for some of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you need an MRI and you have to pay, let's say, 10% of it, and you call around and there's one place that does it for $900 and another place that does it for $600, you're going to go to the $600 one. If you don't have to pay anything or you pay $2 wherever you go, you know, you don't care. You're going to go to whatever, you just don't care.
Sure. You've got no investment in that.
Right.
There was one other one that I looked at on your list that I know if somebody saw it in the governor's office, they would throw it right out the window. Repeal the prevailing wage law that requires above market rate wages be paid on school construction projects.
Yeah, I mean,
not going to be popular.
Why should taxpayers give a little gift to certain groups of workers as opposed to other groups of workers, a little subsidy, a little extra, a little lagniappe, now that we're in the Mardi Gras time here. When you bid out, say, a home renovation project, you know, you try to get the best value you can. Why should taxpayers have to pay more than that? Why should taxpayers have to live by a different standard? And again, there's one, like I said, most of these have something in common that the normal people would not even notice that these things were done. But I'll tell you what they would notice, Frank. If we got rid of the SBT and replaced it with nothing, people would notice that instead of Detroit metro area being leading the nation in mortgage foreclosures and job loss and unemployment, we might start to see this economy turn around. The SBT is a huge drag. You had Brooks on there. And if you just replace it with another tax, there's no guarantee that that won't be just as bad. Michigan, really, to some extent, we have more government than we can afford. And if you propose it, if the first response when you propose a tax cut is how are you going to pay for that, that says to me that the attitude is the people exist to serve the government and not the other way around. If we have more government than we can afford, we need to reduce that. So these are common sense ways that are really very pain-free in terms of ordinary citizens.
I've mentioned this to other guests in the past. What you have quite often, whenever you hear, well, we can't go without taxes if we count on an improved economy to produce more income and therefore more tax revenue for the state that way, these are people who don't believe in the economic system that we have. They don't believe it works.
Well,
and they think the only way to do it is to come right up front and say, pay us now because we don't want to wait to see the economic development in our state.
Right. I mean, you know, the common theme that runs through opposition to a lot of these common sense reforms is that's not the way we've done it in the past. But, Frank, we all know that that's not good enough anymore. I mean, this state is possibly at the tipping point of going from relative decline in population and income to absolute decline. And that is not a pretty picture. I mean, you know, that means a future of a state with a lot of old people who are lonely because their children and grandchildren have had to move elsewhere to find careers.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But you know, and we can avoid that.
Well, and I really hope that there's some movement in Lansing, but I, judging on the old theory, we've never done it that way before, I can't see them changing up there and really instituting meaningful change in the way they spend our money. I just can't see it. But maybe if the SBT is repealed and they've got that $2 billion hole, they'll come around and say, look, we've got to get serious about cutting all these spending projects and really give us some change. This is where Dick DeVos, I think so far, and this is just my own observation here, Dick DeVos so far, and maybe he's going to change this later, has missed the boat on this. He has not offered any program yet for how he's going to change the economy in the state of Michigan. And he keeps saying, I've got a plan and I'll announce it down the road. And I know he doesn't want to be premature about it, but I think he has a golden opportunity right now to come out early and offer some real substantive changes that he would bring to the state that could give him an advantage. But we don't hear anybody who has a say, a real voice in Lansing, who can do something about it, taking up the fight and trying to work on our behalf to turn things around.
Well, like that line in The Untouchables, everyone knows where the liquor is. Everyone knows how to fix the state economy. You get the incentives right so that businesses and job providers are standing in line to get into this state. You don't have to have the governor running around handing out tax abatements and other kinds of bribes to make them come. Because she knows that the business climate here is so unfavorable. You get the incentives right so that you can go to business. You don't have to go to them. You just get them right, and word gets out there that, hey, come to Michigan because, wow, you can make money there, and they won't drive you nuts with all their regulations, and they won't tax away, more than the normal amount of your profits. We had the National Tax Foundation came out with its business climate index yesterday, the latest edition. They rated Michigan number 49 in our business tax. And they calculate that the single business tax is the equivalent of around a 15% corporate income tax. 15%. Imagine that on top of the federal income tax. No wonder we're having trouble with Michigan's economy.
Now you got it. And by the way, my introduction of Dick DeVos into the discussion is simply to reference the fact that no one on either side is coming up with a real meaningful plan to save that money. I just haven't heard it. I haven't heard it from the governor. We know what her policies are. We don't know what Dick DeVos's policies are, and we've been unable to tackle the problem. We've got to run. We appreciate the time this morning, Jack. Mackinaw.org is the website, and that's Mackinaw with a C at the end, MACKINAC.org, and you can read all about this and a whole bunch of other issues that are considered on a daily basis by people like Jack McHugh, the legislative analyst for Mackinaw Center for Public Policy. Good to talk with you again.
Much obliged, Frank. Take care.
Okay, you too.